This tighter testing timetable provides an added degree of protection as scientists continue to study the Omicron variant.
New COVID-19 testing restrictions. It's Monday, December 6th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Chris Gasquet in Washington. Find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, Omicron variant's effect on travelers, Afghanistan's growing humanitarian crisis, White House Christmas lights. It's all on today's VOA Asia. As cases of the Omicron coronavirus variant continued to spread in the U.S., President Joe Biden announced stricter coronavirus testing requirements starting this week for international travelers entering the country. He also outlined an extension of mask requirements on public transportation and a pledge to deliver 200 million more doses of the COVID-19 vaccine to other nations in the coming months. VOA White House Bureau Chief Patsy Wiedekuswara has this report.
Planning to visit the United States? Be prepared to follow more stringent COVID-19 protocols. In addition to being fully vaccinated, starting next week, inbound travelers, regardless of nationality, must show a negative test within one day of departure instead of 3 days under the previous rule.
This tighter testing timetable provides an added degree of protection as scientists continue to study the Omicron variant. And we are extending the requirement, both internationally and domestically, to wear masks for travel on aircraft, trains, public transportation, through the winter months.
President Joe Biden announced the measures Thursday, together with plans to increase vaccine and booster outreach for seniors and children and making COVID tests free and more widely available, a multi-pronged strategy to deal with the new Omicron variant and avoid lockdowns. An individual who traveled from South Africa tested positive in California on Wednesday, the first Omicron case detected in the U.S. The Biden administration has restricted travel from 9 African countries, including South Africa, where the variant was first detected. In the next 100 days, the U.S. will also send an additional 200 million doses of COVID vaccine abroad.
I'll always make sure that our people are protected first, but vaccinating the world is not just a moral tool, a moral obligation that we have, in my view. It's how we protect Americans, as we're seeing with this new variant.
Doses will also be sent to conflict zones and other humanitarian settings such as refugee camps, part of a deal brokered by the administration between Johnson & Johnson and the international vaccine sharing mechanism COVAX to immunize people not reached by government programs. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki.
We work through trusted global health partners like the United Nations, other NGOs that are trusted who can get humanitarian assistance and aid, including vaccine doses, into communities.
A recent Duke University analysis said that to reach the UN's year-end goal of vaccinating at least 40% of the world's population, low and lower middle-income countries need an additional 650 million doses beyond what they are scheduled to receive from COVAX. Krishna Udayakumara is the founding director of the Duke Global Health Innovation Center at Duke University.
That might seem like a lot, but we have also projected that high-income countries, so members of the G7 and European Union, will likely have more than 800 million excess doses available that they can reallocate after taking care of domestic needs, after taking care of boosters.
While equitable distribution of doses remains an issue in many parts of the world, the bigger problem may be skepticism that COVID vaccines are safe and effective. The Biden administration says it is also helping other countries overcome vaccine hesitancy in their population. Patsy Wiedekuswara, VOA News at the White House.
Find more on our top story by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook, VOA Asia, and the VOAnews.com website. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on VOAnews.com. Myanmar junta chief meets Suu Kyi party stalwart. 5 reported dead after Myanmar security forces ram car into Yangon protest. U.S. not panicking over China's newfound military might. Supporters of ex-Bangladesh PM demand she be allowed to travel for medical treatment. Putin to visit New Delhi amid spotlight on Indian defense purchase. Find complete coverage on all these stories and more on Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and on the VOAnews.com website. We're glad you're with us on VOA Asia on this Monday. It's been nearly 2 years since COVID-19 was first reported in China, and now a fresh round of travel restrictions is affecting millions around the world. VOA's Saqib U-Islam reports on the hurdles travelers are again facing and the controversy over the new restrictions.
American Portia Steele was halfway to Kruger National Park outside Johannesburg when she heard about new U.S. travel restrictions targeting South Africa, where the Omicron variant of the coronavirus was first detected.
I was getting text messages from my friends and family about how they were restricting travel in the U.K., expecting maybe that they would restrict travel back to the U.S.
Steele shortened her first ever trip to South Africa from 10 to only 2 days and booked four different flights back to United States before the restrictions took hold.
A lot of U.S. citizens tearful at the United counter, at the Delta counter, at the KLM counter, trying to figure out ways to get home.
Steele was required to have a vaccination card, a negative COVID test, and a negative rapid test at the airport to board a flight from Johannesburg. In the U.S., she was greeted by officials with the Center for Disease Control, given a self-testing kit, and then went into self-quarantine.
Traveling during the COVID era is knowing that things can change at any given moment and that people have to be malleable. Yeah, just caution to anybody, just be flexible because you never know what's going to happen if you're abroad.
Dr. Patrick Jackson is an infectious disease researcher at University of Virginia. He says it's almost certain that world will see more coronavirus variants in areas with low vaccination rates like South Africa. He's calling on countries to focus more on getting people vaccinated than on restricting travel.
One of the major failures of our pandemic policy so far has been not giving vaccines to the developing world and ensuring that the global population can get vaccinated.
Dr. Anthony Fauci is the country's leading infectious disease expert and president's chief medical advisor. After the first U.S. Omicron case was detected days ago, Fauci renewed calls for people to get vaccinated and defended the new White House travel restrictions.
No one feels, I certainly don't, that a travel ban is going to prevent people who are infected from coming to the United States. But we needed to buy some time to be able to prepare, understand what's going on, what is the nature of this infection, what is the nature of the transmissibility.
More than 30 countries have closed their borders and more have imposed stricter measures in response to Omicron. As researchers try to learn more about this latest variant, officials say it's imperative that more people around the world get vaccinated. Saqib al-Islam, VOA News, Washington.
Still to come on VOA Asia, new warnings about the growing humanitarian crisis in Afghanistan. Happening now in Asia, angry villagers have burned army vehicles in protest after more than a dozen people were killed by soldiers who mistakenly believe some of them were militants in India's remote northeast region along the border with Myanmar. Stay up to date with VOA or listening to VOA Asia. Continuing now on VOA Asia, the UN Refugee Agency warns humanitarian needs in Afghanistan are rising to epic proportions as winter sets in and millions of Afghans face a crisis of hunger and starvation. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
Temperatures in Afghanistan are beginning to plunge below freezing and are expected to drop to minus 25 degrees Celsius. The UN Refugee Agency warns some 3.5 million Afghans forcibly displaced by conflict and war are ill-prepared to survive the bitter cold. UNHCR spokesman Baba Baluch says many displaced families lack insulated shelters, warm clothes, and fuel for heating. He says they do not have enough food and they lack medical supplies and other essential relief.
Nearly 23 million people, that's 55% of the population, are facing extreme levels of hunger, and nearly 9 million of them are at risk of famine.
Baluch recently returned from a lengthy stay in Afghanistan. While there, he says he witnessed heartbreaking scenes of destitution and desperation. The UN spokesman says he has met single mothers with no shelter or food for their children. He says he has met elderly people who have been displaced and are left to take care of orphaned grandchildren.
One single mother that I met, she has a six-month-old baby, a 12-year-old son, a 10-year-old daughter, and two parents to look after because the husband died in the fighting. So she has to take care of the full family. Her children go hungry. So the two kids, the 12-year-old and the 10-year-old, they have to work.
Baluch says malnutrition levels are soaring, with many children ending up in hospitals. He says the condition of some 3 million malnourished children is very concerning. He warns 1 million of those children are at imminent risk of dying if they do not urgently receive the support they need. This year, the UNHCR has assisted some 700,000 displaced Afghans across the country. It currently is reaching nearly 60,000 people every week. Baluch says the race is on to reach more before the winter snows cut off access to many. He says further support is urgently needed for the UNHCR to continue delivering life-saving aid this winter and throughout the coming year. The funding needs for this ongoing humanitarian operation, he says, amount to nearly $375 million. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Finally, on VOA Asia, the White House is lit with holiday cheer for this year's festive season, with First Lady Jill Biden's Christmas decor theme of Gifts from the Heart. VOA's Anita Powell reports from the White House.
For her first Christmas as First Lady, Jill Biden chose Gifts from the Heart as her theme, and she's filled the White House with tributes to those who have inspired her in the past year. Frontline workers who soldiered through the pandemic, service members who gave their lives, and members of her family and those of previous presidents. First Lady Jill Biden.
For all of our differences, we are united by what really matters. Like points on a star, we come together at the heart. That is what I wanted to reflect in our White House this year. In each room, we tell a story of gifts from the heart. In the East Wing, we see the gift of service with shooting stars representing the frontline workers who brought light to our lives in the darkest days of this pandemic.
This year's decorations echo the theme of the last Christmas of previous First Lady Melania Trump. Trump's final Christmas decorations as First Lady paid tribute to first responders. As usual, the White House pastry team this year spent several weeks putting together a hefty gingerbread display. This year, it includes a school, police, fire, and gas stations, a hospital, a post office, a grocery store, and a warehouse. Christmas trees have been a White House fixture for more than a century, but it was First Lady Jacqueline Kennedy who started decorating by theme. The First Lady's efforts haven't always been warmly received. Critics howled over former First Lady Melania Trump's 2018 decorations, which included red Christmas trees, with some calling them more frightening than festive. But the First Lady said that while the world may still be scary, the holidays shouldn't be.
No matter how dark the night, when we turn toward that light, we will never be lost.
As usual, the White House went big. More than 100 volunteers festooned 41 Christmas trees with 80,000 lights, 6,000 feet of ribbon, and more than 10,000 ornaments. Anita Powell, VOA News, at the White House.
That's all the time we have on VOA Asia. Make sure to find us on Facebook, VOA Asia, on Twitter at VOA Asia, and on Instagram, YouTube, and at voanews.com. Thanks to our service chief, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team of Jim Stevenson, Keith Lane, and Jessica Stone. I'm Chris Gasquio in Washington. Enjoy the day.